With International Women's Day yesterday, gender equality is at the forefront of everyone's mind, especially with this year's theme being like Each for Equal. We're joined by Professor Jane Marie, who is a professor in the Centre of Women's Studies and Gender Research Sociology in the School of Social Sciences at Monash University. Jane Marie, are you there?
Good morning.
How's it going?
Very well, thank you.
Slightly more frigid down there in Melbourne in Victoria rather than Sydney, I would maybe guess.
Lovely sunny day here.
Oh, that's good. It's good to hear. It's absolutely miserable up in Sydney. First of all, I just want to ask, just tell us a little bit about kind of what you do on the day to day. It's kind of working in gender studies and such at kind of a university like Monash, and how is maybe even just equality, gender equality, different to the idea of gender equity?
So my job for really over the past 20 years has been working with young people, talking to them about gender, and obviously talking about ways to achieve gender equality. And gender equality is most commonly defined as when there are equal outcomes for people, for women, for men, and for all gender diverse people. So where you're gender identification and gender experience doesn't constrain your life choices. Gender equity is often understood as the processes we use to get there, and it's an important distinction because we don't all start from the same place in order in that work of achieving the choices we might want to make. So we recognise that women and men and gender diverse people are located really differently in terms of life opportunities often, and so equality won't necessarily be achieved by giving everyone equal opportunity. We need to change some of the starting points, and that's why we need gender equity processes in place.
Right, so it's probably that's quite kind of interesting, because in light obviously of International Women's Day yesterday, so then obviously that's a representation of what we hope is gender equality for women, and then I believe there's an International kind of Men's Day, which obviously doesn't get touched on as much for, again, obvious reasons. But even in terms of representation, are we on kind of equal starting blocks? Is there a gender diversity day of some sorts?
There is indeed. So there's a range of days that occur late in the year. One of them is called the Ida Hobbit Day, which is a day that recognises the diverse experiences of gay, lesbian, transgender, intersex people and a range of others. So we're moving towards much better recognition of that. And so some of the states, for example, have removed the requirement that a sex be nominated at birth, and in other states people have said you can actually change that, change your gender identification without reference to a medical professional, which used to be the case.
Right.
So there is a lot of change.
That is good. Even still now, like I think not so long ago I was filling out a document just for, it was a driver's license of some sort or whatever it was. It wasn't a state kind of document, it was just a third party. But in any case, there was still, it didn't even give you the other option when deciding on sex, and it was sex rather than gender. It was male, female. I thought, geez, like it was February at the time of 2020, and that's still not even an option. It was astounding. I do want to ask, obviously, again, in light of International Women's Day, what do you think, and you were there in Melbourne, maybe you even attended, I don't know, the MCG yesterday and kind of Katy Perry's performance at the World Cup final, but what kind of actual, even tangible effect can that have, International Women's Day, for, I guess, women around the world? Does it mean anything? And I think kind of in a Western society, we can get caught up in thinking, oh, that's fantastic, we're really moving towards something. But you've only got to read news articles, and obviously there's kind of like suppression still of women in kind of other areas of the world. Are we close to gender equality?
Unfortunately, I think we're a way off. And while I wasn't there yesterday, but my oldest daughter was with my partner and said it was fantastic, and we obviously watched on TV. I think we need to accept that in a country like Australia, although lots of things have changed, we've still got a really long way to go. So, for example, gender equal pay is still a dream, and in fact, over the last 20 years, there really hasn't been much progress towards gender equal pay,
right,
even when you control for things like part-time work. all of us in Australia are really facing the unfortunate reality that there is ongoing violence against women, which is a really basic achievement that we need before we could ever claim gender equality, that women are basically safe in their own lives, doing their everyday thing, and we're just not there yet. So while I would be, you know, it's so important to acknowledge that the opportunities that we have here are much more significant, for example, than they are in some other places, we also need to accept we've still got a lot of work to do here in Australia too.
So the day itself then, kind of, what is there anything kind of even in your studies or anything, does it represent or does it carry any kind of movements or something? Is it still something to be proud of, I guess, or something to kind of really celebrate?
I definitely think it is, because I'm a, you know, as you get older, you really start to recognise that we need to do all of the different things that we can to make and create change. So, you know, the fantastic work that younger women do on social media, calling things out, the type of work that Clem Ford does, where she really is provocative and points out questions of gender-based violence and gender issues every single day, and what is probably a more conventional thing, which is the celebration of International Women's Day, which often has a lot of flowers and balloons and all of that stuff. But I think all of those things have an important role to play, because all of them ask us to take a minute and to think about what's going on, and to perhaps think about what we have to be proud about in terms of change and what we still have to do. So, look, I'm a big fan of any type of celebration or recognition of gender issues, however they come up, really.
I do want to ask you, it's interesting that you brought up kind of a couple of icons, the wrong word, but kind of a person of note. Then I should ask, initially, when I wanted to do this interview and I reached out to you, I said that I'd wanted to discuss Bettina Arndt's controversial recognition on Australia Day this year. And to give it some context, essentially, she's an advocate for men's rights. And I don't think I would be kind of, I don't think it would be strange for me to say that she goes about it in a pretty unorthodox fashion. It just within kind of the discipline that you work in, what has the general response been?
I would not be an outlier, I think, to say that I was, on a personal level, really shocked and hurt, because I think there are a couple of questions that come up. The first thing is that we really know that women are under-recognised in these awards. So, you know, less than 30% of the awards go to women. And part of the reason for that is a lot of the stuff that women do is unrecognised work or expected from them. So what you tend to see is that men who do volunteer work will get up in an award much, much more readily than women who do volunteer work, because we expect it. So it doesn't seem extraordinary that, you know, my mum at 75 is still cooking scones to fundraise every second week. It doesn't seem extraordinary, because we expect that of women. So that's the first thing, is that there's a lot of work that women do that is completely unrecognised, and that's a massive problem for these awards. The second issue for me is that I just can't see what the service is in this context. When we look at the work that Bettina Arndt does, it's really, she's a commentator, she gets paid to be a commentator. I think it's really reasonable to say, as do many, that she's provocative in order to get attention, to get herself more pay and then to get herself more attention. But I can't see where her service is, and that's been the thing I think that's really stood out for me. She doesn't propose any positive solutions in her work. She operates as a caller out of what she sees as injustices against men, but she doesn't, there's no foundational work, there's no free work, there's no outreach. I just don't know what the service is. So when I think about an appointment like that, I have a problem, because I think there's a woman who's really just doing her job, and whatever we might think about that job, she's just doing her job. I can't see that there's anything extra in her work than her own benefit. And then that sits alongside our massive under-recognition of women who every day do such an amazing amount of stuff and never get an award.
So it would seem like a bit of a slap in the face, I then suppose, if there are people kind of doing work that should be recognised. And like you said, if only 30% of recognition goes to women, then that is, or one of those examples are to someone that it's, again, I'm not going to say it's one thing or the other, but I can see why a person might find it, or society as a general rule might find it somewhat problematic. I should say, though, is the rhetoric, is it relevant? Is there a place kind of for men's rights activism in Australia, or is it kind of clutching at straws a little bit, given obviously the past of Western society, or just society as a general rule?
So I think the first thing I need to say is, because I'm in Victoria, that a lot of my work in the last 5 years has been post-Royal Commission work with the state government. So I do come at this from that perspective of a lot of my everyday work is facing or researching or interrogating the gendered violence that occurs against women. So that's the first thing. That's where I begin. And I think the term men's rights activism is not a term that I am interested in interrogate. However, I do. We absolutely need to do really good work around opening up the costs of masculinity for men. And I work with fantastic colleagues, fantastic young men like Steve Roberts and Brady Robards at my university, and that's just at my university in my corridors, who really recognise that conventional forms of masculinity, the ones that underpin the patterns of violence and privilege, are really damaging for men as well as catastrophic for women.
That is it's an interesting way to look at it, because obviously there's been so much about kind of men's, especially mental health and sexuality and masculinity, all that kind of stuff, and how we do need to like kind of reshape those ideas. So maybe that is kind of a better avenue, I guess, to approach what is quote unquote men's rights at the moment.
Well, I just think it's a different way of looking at the problem. And again, this comes back to how Bettina Art frames the problem as something that you throw. You flamethrow it because you say men aren't getting access to their children through the family law court or whatever the particular issue is. But actually, the really significant issue for society is that we've still got this terrible unequal division of care labour, that we've still got women doing the bulk of unpaid care, and that creates incredible pressures for them. And we've still got men who aren't participating in that, and what they miss out on is intimacy, connection, the value of that work, and as you say, the other consequent problems that then arise for them. So we need to recognise a bit more what's important, and we need to start making it easier for people of all gender identities to move in and do that care work and experience both the cost of it, because taking care of people is hard labour, but also the benefits of it, which are connection and a sense of worth and,
Good start. Hey, Jane, thanks. Or Jane Marie, I should say. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a really interesting chat again, obviously, with International Women's Day being yesterday. But, again, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Nice to talk to you.
See ya. Have a good day. That was Jane Marie Mayer, who is a professor at the Centre of Women's Studies and Gender Research Sociology in the School of Social Sciences at Monash University, talking about International Women's Day, gender equity, gender equality. It was really good stuff.